Few foreigners are allowed to visit North Korea. Even fewer live there. It's virtually unheard of for an American to live in North Korea, but John Hoag has. Until recently, he was helping build two power plants, part of a 1994 deal that was supposed to freeze North Korea's nuclear weapons program. His experience shows how North Korea is perhaps the most insular country in the world. From Seoul, NPR's Eric Weiner reports.
John Hoag says that during his 3 years living and working in North Korea, he saw no evidence of the country's secret nuclear weapons program. Then again, North Korean officials made sure he saw only what they wanted him and his co-workers to see. They erected a fence around the entire region where the power plants were being constructed, and armed guards accompanied Hoag anytime he ventured out of the facility.
The major purpose is to keep us away from any contact with the local people. It was clear from a couple of incidents up there that they were watching us very carefully.
Watching and listening, Hoag spent years working side by side with North Korean officials, hand-picked members of the Communist Party elite, but conversation rarely ventured far from safe topics.
The limits were very clear. You could talk about Chosun Dynasty history. You could talk about their shared experiences hating and resisting the Japanese, but anything having to do with the current state of the two Koreas or anything having to do with ideology was strictly off limits. And after a few explosions on the North Korean side, when some of our people made an indiscreet comment, our folks pretty much learned to observe those limits very carefully.
Those limits apply not only to Hoag and other foreigners in North Korea, but also to ordinary North Koreans as well. They cannot travel from one village to another without written permission. And as for the capital, Pyongyang, well, that is a promised land, a place that only a fortunate few are allowed to enter.
Pyongyang is heaven. There's Pyongyang and there's everything else. The North Korean authorities seem very careful to limit access to Pyongyang by their own citizens.
To the casual visitor, says Hoag, Pyongyang is an impressive city with wide boulevards and stunning architecture, but...
When you got close to them, you would see the broken windows and the cracks in the concrete and the places where the paint had peeled off even new buildings. And you realize that this really is a desperately poor country.
Desperately poor, says Hoag, but also desperately proud. Two conflicting impulses that sometimes produce strange juxtapositions. For instance, one day, says Hoag, everyone in a nearby village suddenly had a shiny new bicycle. But, and this is the strange part, most people weren't riding the bikes. They were pushing them.
It appears that they were told, the people pushing these bicycles were told by the authorities to get out and use them. Show the South Koreans, show the Americans how well the dear leader takes care of you. And since they didn't know how to ride the bicycles, the only thing they could do was push them. It was almost as if they realized how strange their system was, and they were taking great pains to disguise it.
In a way, says Hoag, the power plants he was working on were also a bit of a charade. The project had fallen way behind schedule, and many of the foreign engineers grew frustrated. But John Hoag says they missed the point.
They thought that their job was to build a power plant, and it wasn't. The intent of the project was to shut down the North Korean nuclear program. That was the essence of the trade.
North Korea, of course, failed to live up to its end of the bargain. The 1994 agreement is effectively dead. John Hoag is now working in Seoul as a newspaper editor, and he figures he won't be returning to North Korea anytime soon. Eric Weiner, NPR News, Seoul.